Happy Mother's Day. Good to have you here. I'm Robin. Welcome to East Lake Church. We say this is a church for everyone, and we mean it. And I hope you know how much Jesus cares about you and how devoted he is to you. We're going to look at a story today in the Bible about a woman who is a mom, and she's just this wonderful example of a picture, really, of what it means to believe God's devoted to you and how that can cause a person to be devoted to him. Sometimes we get it backwards. We think we have to be really, really super devoted to God, and if we hit some high level of devotion, then God will be devoted to me. And this is a story that turns that completely upside down on its head. And so look in your notes, and the big idea this weekend is Jesus is devoted to us, and I want to read you the story right out of the Bible. You can just follow along. Jesus left Galilee and went north to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Gentile woman who lived there came to him pleading, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David, for my daughter has a demon that torments her severely." But Jesus gave her no reply, not even a word. Then his disciples urged him to send her away. "Tell her to go away," they said. "She's bothering us with all of her begging." Then Jesus said to the woman, "I was sent only to help God's lost sheep, the people of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, pleading again, "Lord, help me." Jesus responded, "It isn't right to take the food from the children and throw it to the dogs." "Yes, Lord," she replied, "but even dogs are permitted to eat the crumbs that fall beneath their master's table." "Woman," Jesus said to her, "your faith is great. Your request is granted." And her daughter was instantly healed. Now, Jesus is traveling way north of Jerusalem, and he's in the area where all the outcasts live. All the people that don't want to go to church anymore, the people that the church doesn't like anymore, he's traveling amongst them when this woman meets Jesus, and she's called a Gentile. And in Jesus' day, there wasn't anything worse than being called a Gentile. The Jewish church taught that if you were a Gentile, you were a second-class person, that God didn't care as much about you. And the Gentiles started to believe that, well, it doesn't look like the church is devoted to me, so I guess God's not devoted to me either. Maybe you know someone that thinks like this. The church doesn't care about me. Maybe God doesn't care about me either. Gentiles. You know, we every week I get up here, I have a friend that always teases me. I always say, this is a church for everyone. That's not a tagline. That's God's heart. There's no second-class citizens. There's no Gentiles when it comes to Jesus. And she approaches him, and she says an interesting thing. She comes up and she says, "Son of David, Lord, Son of David." She's sort of reminding him of his family background. And doesn't Mother's Day do that? Sort of think through your family and your moms. Jesus, Son of David. Jesus had a great, 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 great grandfather named David. Maybe you've heard of him. He's super famous. He slayed the giant. He killed the giant Goliath. He was a mighty warrior. He was an artist. He was the king of Israel. He was all these awesome things. He was the type of relative that you can be proud of. Maybe you have some, you look back and go, oh, they make the family look good. But he also had a dark side to him. He had an affair on his wife. He murdered a man. He cheated on his family. He never was able to connect with his children. He loved his kids to death, but could never connect with them. He also left a black mark on the family. And when she sees Jesus, maybe she's trying to remind him. She's trying to say, Jesus, you know what it's like to not have a perfect family, don't you? Let me take some pressure off you. You didn't come from a perfect family, and your family's not perfect either. But boy, if there's anyone that tries, it's the moms. Oh, I want everything to go perfect. I want everything to go just according to plan, and you know, I'm the mom of the family, if they could just go perfect. And this woman has a huge problem. She runs up to Jesus and she says, my daughter has a demon. And if, you know, you're like, whoa, what does that mean? I don't know what she means by it. Obviously means something's really, really, really super wrong. But the real point of the story is, do you notice how honest she can be with the Lord? It just seems like she's done faking the perfect family. You know, you don't run up and make that announcement if you're trying to keep the perfect image for your family still. Remember, a couple weeks ago, I told you a story about a young man that I'd met, grew up in the perfect family, perfect neighborhood, until he got caught smoking weed at work. And then his manager called up his mom. They knew each other and ratted him out. And when he got home, he opens up the door and his mom flew at him physically in a rage. And she screamed out at him, "Do you know what the neighbors are going to think?" Because they lived in a neighborhood where everybody was supposed to be perfect. I thought about that mom this week as I was reading this story. I thought, can you imagine the pressure that she'd been under all those years? Always trying to make everybody perfect in my family. There's no problems with us. I mean, day after day, week after week, month after month, trying to convince everybody we're perfect, we're perfect, we're perfect. I mean, step back from the story and just imagine the pressure. I met her years later. I met her after this event had happened. And let me tell you, she was so sick of the perfect. She'd gone so far away from the perfect church and the perfect. She was living a completely different life. One of the reasons people won't come to a place like this, or one of the things that drives them so far away from God, is they become convinced that they have to be perfect for Him too. And this lady, she's got an idea. She understands that God's devotion. She goes, "You know what it's like, Jesus, to have a family member that makes the family look bad." And she cries out for mercy. "Have mercy on me, Son of David." I cry out for mercy when I don't have anything to tell God that would prove I deserve His help. I mean, sometimes I go to God and I have this great story, and it's like, God, and I tell Him all these things about me as if I'm convincing Him I'm worthy for Your help, God. But every once in a while, I just try to think of anything I can, and I realize I got nothing. I haven't done anything good this week. In fact, I almost hope You weren't noticing, because I don't deserve anything this week, God. Mercy is when you go to God and you don't have anything to try to convince Him with. You can't think of anything at all that would convince Him that He should help you. That's mercy. "Have mercy on me, Jesus. You know what it's like to have a troubled family." The pressure of it all. And maybe you come from a family like that. Maybe you come from a family that at one point they tried to have the perfect image, and maybe you've left all that now, or maybe at some point in your life you look back on your mom and maybe you're not happy with her because you feel like she tried to make the family always look perfect. And one of the great things about Mother's Day is that it's a time that you can reflect on your own mom. I had so many years that I was angry at my mom. And I had my reasons. And so many years I was unhappy with her, angry with her, upset with her. And finally, Jesus was just able to help me understand that she needed a little bit of understanding and grace. Maybe like the mom I just told you about. It'd be easy to look at her and say, "You wrecked my life and You were always making us look perfect." But maybe if you just stop and think, how much pressure was she under all those years? I brought a little story I want to read you. If you've got stuff with your mom, maybe Mother's Day could be the day that you extend a little understanding and grace to her. Now, this woman shopping for some shoes, I watched the salesman carry box after box of shoes for a teenager and her mother. At each demand made by the daughter, the mother nodded. At first, there was a feeling of unease that tucked in me. Then a vivid scene raced through my mind, an incident from my childhood. I could see my mother telling me there was no money for the shoes that I needed. "But there's enough money to buy a string for your stupid guitar," I responded as she turned away. The memory startled me. I was amazed. I still resented my mother for that. I gathered my purse and packages and walked out the store. Why this anger, I wonder? Why am I so mad? Why am I replaying this incident? I love my mom. I thought I was way past this by now. I was 43 years old, and I was still struggling. Irritated and annoyed, I drove home. in our garage, I sat in the car and I prayed, Lord, I don't want to have these feelings towards my mom. Please, help me. I felt a lot calmer. I collected my stuff. I went in the house and I saw a letter, and it was from my mom. I opened up the letter, and the first thing I noticed is that a check for $100 fell out. And then I read, My dear daughter, the other day as I was tuning my violin for a concert, I realized I had had it for 65 years, all those years with one violin. Many a time when I thought I couldn't handle raising you children, I would turn to my violin, praying for the strength and the patience and the understanding. I remember once when we had no money and you needed shoes. The only pair I could give you was a pair of your brother's. They didn't fit you and they made bad blisters, but you still had to wear them. I know how terrible that must have had you feeling. I'm sending a check and I want you to buy yourself the prettiest pair of shoes you can find. Now, mind you, don't spend the money on the kids like you always do. This is for you, my special daughter. I love you, your mom. Mother's Day is this wonderful day when we can kind of zoom out and try to get the bigger context. Okay, so maybe my mom wasn't perfect. Maybe I've got some stuff on. But it's also the day that you can extend some grace, some understanding, and maybe even some forgiveness. And it's odd how this story goes, because you think of this woman, you know, she comes to Jesus, she puts it all out there. I don't have the perfect family, you didn't either. And his response is kind of odd. You're like, you know, she puts it all out there, and Jesus doesn't say anything to her. I mean, can you imagine if you were watching this like it's a little sitcom going by, and here's this woman, she's like putting her heart out there, Jesus, Jesus, you know, and Jesus doesn't say a word to her. Now, let me tell you, when God seems to ignore my prayers, it's really easy for me to believe, you're not devoted to me. You see what's going on down here? I've been telling you, and nothing's happened. When's the last time you felt like God was ignoring you? And where did you go? Oh, it must be me. I have to do something to get his attention. This is a real story. I'm sure she's sitting there going, Lord, were you going to say anything? And he doesn't. We jump to the conclusion, you know, he's ignoring her. He doesn't want to talk to her. But what if this is the answer? What if he doesn't want to tell her no? What if she comes and he hears the story and Jesus knows he can't heal the daughter? What if he just, it's not going to happen. And what if he doesn't have the heart to tell her? How many parents in the room, when your kids really, really want something really, really bad and there's no money or the timing isn't right, how it hurts to tell them no when you want to tell them yes? They get older and they want to go to some expensive university or college. You're like, with all your might, you want to tell them. And you can't. Maybe what's really happening here is Jesus sees her and he just doesn't want to break the news to her. It's not going to turn out, I can't do it. Maybe this is a sign of God's heart. He doesn't like to tell us. It's not like this manager. I'm going to mention any names. I got this guy I work with, and I don't know what it is about this dude. It seems like it brings him joy to tell you no. You know, do you think maybe I could leave for a half hour early tonight and see my son's soccer game? Oh, I'm sorry to tell you, but no. He's got a smile on his face, looks like it's the happiest day of his life. To have to disappoint you, you know? Jesus isn't like that. He doesn't want to disappoint you or me. If you're a mom, you've probably been through that so many times. The 12-year-old asked for the keys to the car. Sorry, honey, no. I want them. It's hard. Now, notice in the story, Jesus doesn't say anything, but the disciples, they pipe up. Tell her to get lost. She's bugging us. I have always found out in my life, When I'm talking when I'm not supposed to be talking, I always say the wrong thing. My wife will verify. They've got to fill the space. You ever had anybody pipe in from the sidelines? And you know what they're saying isn't right? Get her out of here. Send her away. And this is interesting. They accuse her of being a beggar. Send her away. She's bothering us with all of her begging. The Bible doesn't say she's begging. The Bible says she's pleading. There's a big difference between pleading and begging. It's an attitude difference. I beg for my benefit. I plead for yours. She's pleading. They don't get any of it. They don't see it. They're worried about themselves, and Jesus is worried about her. He doesn't want to tell her no. I don't know if she is sure what to do about it. This next section, I'm just going to read it to you this time. It's in the Bible on it. Then Jesus said to the woman, I was sent only to help God's lost sheep, the people of Israel. But she came and knelt before him, pleading again, Lord, help me. And there was a little fill-in. You can put silence doesn't mean a lack of devotion. So she keeps coming at him. And I thought about this. When is the last time God told you no and it inspired you to come and kneel before him? I saw this little girl yesterday. I was doing a wedding for a young couple that comes to the church yesterday. It was a backyard wedding. And the dad had told the little girl not to play in the sandbox. He had this sandbox there. And she's going to be a flower girl. She's all dressed up, pretty ready to go. But this sandbox was just calling this little girl's name. So when nobody's looking, she got over in this sandbox and started playing in it and everything. And the dad had said, don't play in the sandbox. And about 10 minutes later, she comes walking back over, and she's just sand. And the wedding's in like 10 minutes, you know. And it was so cute to watch her because she had nothing to say. She just came over with her hands like this and just looked at her dad and went. He just shook her head, you know. Usually when God tells me no, I pitch a fit. Or I go play in the sandbox anyways. What is it with this mother? I mean, how unique. God tells her no and she comes and worships him? Jesus says no and she comes and... When is the last time you knelt before the Lord? You don't have to be Christian to kneel before Jesus. Just ask him. Maybe some of you, it's just hard to kneel. When's the last time you knelt in your heart before the Lord? And I mean it. Just everything else aside, you just came and you just knelt down before me. You just said, please. She comes and kneels before him. I know moms kneel a lot. Put something that'll come up on the screen. I want to read it to you. Motherhood is a choice you make every day to put someone else's happiness and well-being ahead of your own, to teach the hard lessons, to do the right thing even when you're not sure what the right thing is, and to forgive yourself over and over again for doing everything wrong. I think that's how a lot of moms feel. Like, man, every day she's coming at me. And she responds in an interesting way. And let me just speak to the women and the moms here today. Sometimes all you've got is to kneel before him. For all the women here that have children, you can't control them. And sometimes it may seem like they're demons. Can't control them. But you can always control if you'll bow before the Lord. And I have a special heart for women that either have wanted to have children, they haven't been able to, or some combination of things happened. But if you're a woman, you're a mom. God made you that way. And it can be very painful to somehow not have that turn into children. I know that. Our foster daughter went 10 years trying to have kids, and I watched her go through. It was so painful. So it's not just kids that cause pain for moms. Sometimes no kids cause pain for women. My heart goes out to you. And listen, God will show you your purpose and his plan for your condition, for your life, for the way you are. You're not second class. But sometimes all you'll be able to do is go on your knees. Really? I mean, I'm designed to be a baby factory. No kids? That's pain. And sometimes all you'll be able to do is just go get onto your knees. And if you know anyone like that, try to tell him he cares about you. Got a plan for your life. Just go bow before him. Now the conversation continues, and you know, Jesus responds, and this is interesting, "It isn't right to take the food from the children and throw it to the dogs." "Yes, Lord," she replied, "even the dogs are permitted to eat the crumbs that fall beneath the master's table." You're thinking, what is going on here? Why is Jesus talking about dogs to this woman? I mean, at first you wouldn't even know if you should send someone to Jesus. First of all, you watch him, he doesn't say anything to him. You're saying, "Lord, say something," until you can look past it and go, "Oh, he doesn't want to hurt her." Then he starts talking about dogs. It's bad enough she feels like a Gentile. Then he starts talking about, so here's what he's trying to say. He's trying to say, "I'm Jesus, not genie of the bottle. I don't just exist to make your wishes come true. I know it's difficult, but I am the Lord." Here's what he's trying to give her a picture of. If I just exist to make your wishes come through, girl, everything will break down in your life. You're not smart enough to make all the wishes. If I made all your prayers come through, just think if all your prayers came through. You'd be married 15 times by now. You know, to 14 wrong people. And that's just that area of life. I mean, what he's trying to say, here's what he's trying to say. Okay, so let me give you a picture. Let's say you get invited over to someone's house for dinner. You go over there, there's four or five people invited, right? And you come in and you're like, whoa, it's going to be a good dinner tonight. The table's even set. You know, they got all the stuff on the table and you're thinking, this is going to be an awesome dinner. Everybody's hanging out, enjoying their company and everything. And all of a sudden, someone says, okay, dinner, we're going to have dinner now, dinner's served. And you all head towards the table and you hear this loud whistle and five German shepherds rush into the room and they jump up on the table and they just start chowing down on everything. You're like, whoa, wait a minute. They're like, whoa, step back, man. Whoa, wait a minute. Wait until they're finished. You're like, what? Well, wait till the dogs are done. Do you have any manners? When they're done, whatever's left over, we'll have. You're like, what kind of a wacko place am I at? Jesus is giving a wacko example. He's saying, if I only exist for your wishes to come true, if my only job is just to make all your wishes come true, that's what the world's going to look like. It'll look that backwards. It'll be that off track. We come in, we submit our request to the Lord. And somehow she gets that. Because she comes back to him and she says, yes, Lord, but even the crumbs matter. This is something I want to make sure you catch today. God can use the crumbs in your life. And this woman knows it. She believes that Jesus is devoted to her. And she's like, you know, I understand, Lord. I do. And I understand that if I even have just a couple of crumbs that nobody else wanted, they've fallen from the table, that you can do a lot with that one. And if you've shown up today and somewhere in your life, you look at it and you go, man, I'd always get the crumbs. God can do a lot with the crumbs. Says her daughter was instantly healed. He says this, he looks at her, he says, wow, you have a lot of faith. Somehow, as Jesus was tracking in this whole story, I don't know if you've ever wondered, how does Jesus know when to do a miracle and when not to do a miracle? When does he know when to answer a prayer and when not to answer a prayer? And someone asked him that one time. I said, Jesus, how do you know when to make a blind man see? Or how do you know how to do this? He gave this great answer. He said, oh, I'm not in this by myself. He said, I'm always talking to the Father in heaven, and he tells me when to. And I guess when this lady came up, he was probably checking for the green light. Oh, no green light, no green light. So, no, I don't want to tell her no green light. So he doesn't say anything. And then she keeps pressing. And she humbles herself before him. And you can write in your note, humility doesn't mean a lack of persistence. She just keeps humbling herself. And then at some point, he must have got the green light from the Father in heaven. And he's just like, now I get to do it. Please know, man, Jesus is waiting and relishes the opportunity when he gets the green light to answer your prayers.